For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
It's one of the most played out storylines on television, but I actually witnessed it live, and it meant so much more. Stick around for that story. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook.com/AllOfTheAboveRadio. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Hank Told You So. Don't ask me how long it's been since I've been on any of them. That's kind of not the point of this. I'm just, you know, introducing you to everything here. You can find me personally on Instagram at Hank Hey, how you doing? Or HANKTHORPE on Instagram. No, that's Facebook. Sorry about that. I lost concentration for a second. Hope everybody's doing fantastic on this day that I am talking to you, whatever day you make that. You're in the midst of your commute, long or short. You are picking your kids up from school. You are halfway through laundry or a third of the way through cleaning the bathroom. Or you are doing whatever it is you choose to do. Maybe you are like me and you're doing the most mundane task possible so you can dial in the most on me. And for me, that would be cleaning the bar after work. We've had this discussion before when I talked about audiobooks, which, by the way, I am so close. I started an audiobook. I don't even want to admit when I started it, but it's 14 hours long and I have 2 hours left. And it's probably taken me 5 months. But I'm really kind of actually in a hurry to get this audiobook done so that I can get to the next one. I can't even tell you how many audiobooks I actually have in my Audible library that I have not listened to, that I want to, that I'm curious about, that were interesting in the moment. And then how many more are in the wish list and how many credits I have. But I reach these log jams every now and then where I don't have enough mundane time to dial in and listen. I just haven't had enough of it lately. And here's actually how I can spin it, which, by the way, the book that I'm looking forward to, once I start reading it, I'll tell you what it is. For now, I'm just going to keep it quiet. But I can't wait. I am pushing every other book I was interested in to the side so that I can get to this one. I'm so stoked to listen to this book. Oh, for some good reasons and for some terrible reasons, but I am so stoked to listen to it. So the book that I'm on, 2 hours left, and they're hour-long chapters. Anywhere between 55 minutes and an hour and 14 minutes is what each chapter is. So it's like an individual podcast. It would be like if I gave you the assignment of listening to 14 episodes of All of the Above. I'm sorry, of All New, All Different, All of the Above, and just said, okay, go. You'd probably want to break that up a little, you know? And I'm not a great audiobook listener in terms of I can't stand starting a chapter and not finishing it. So those hour-long chapters, when it actually takes me an hour to listen to them. It's not, oh, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. No, I want to hear the whole thing. Let's just go. Let's just go. Let's just get a momentum, go downhill, and let's go. Anyway, that is not why I'm here to chat with you today. You'll have to pardon me. I am in the midst of what every or almost every North Texan feels. It's the goofy allergy weather. I had a cold, actually. We'll call it a week ago at this point. And I would say it's the lingering effects, but it's not anymore. Now it's just the outside air and the pollen and the allergens and this and the that and all of these things. If you're an allergy kid, you understand. If you live in North Texas, you understand. But on a positive note, I'm actually sort of convinced the allergy shots are working. I haven't been doing them very long, but I think there's a difference. We'll know once we get into the worst of the season, which is, roughly 2 months. And then it just gets so hot that nothing lives, or at least not pollen and allergens. But I am struggling a little bit with a goofy throat. And here's the worst segue I can throw at you. I'm also struggling with a concept. So I'm actually going to pull away from that segue because it was really bad. That segue was something that a morning show host would do, and I'm better than that. I mean, if somebody wants to pay me morning show money to do this show, I am not better than that. I'll just put that out in the universe. You hand me whatever god-awful segues you want, along with that morning money check, I will take it, and I will do it. Let's just make that clear.
But seriously, I am really stoked to read for this next audiobook. Not the point.
So this is if you have been a TV or movie person, if you're into any level of pop culture, you're familiar with the next thing I'm about to talk about with you. Have you ever watched a TV show where the will they won't they couple, up to this point in our lives, it's the guy and the girl, is the will they won't they couple, or when will they, how will they, so on and so on. And inevitably one person is ready to come loose with their feelings, and the other person is still holding back. Because it makes for I won't say it makes for better television, but at least it keeps the crowd engaged and wanting to see that final moment. But anyway, there is that moment where one person says, I love you, and the other person says, thank you. The most notable version of this, according to our friends at Entertainment Weekly, is the episode of Friends, the one with the free porn. Now, because Google will tell me anything I want to know, I just typed in, I love you, thank you, TV. And apparently, the TV show The OC has one of these moments. I don't remember this, but I am not surprised. But New Girl had one of these moments. And I don't remember it, but I'm sure I watched it when I was a kid. Boy Meets World had one of these moments. And apparently, the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's had the same moment. And by the way, that article I just peeked at from Entertainment Weekly is from 2017. They forgot the one that I thought of first, which was the Big Bang Theory. It was I believe it was the day that Leonard told Penny, I love you, and she said thank you. And then and then the rest of the episode was spent with all the different things Penny very easily said she loved. I'm pretty sure she loved fries, and Leonard had an issue with it. And it wouldn't surprise me if, much like that episode of the Big Bang Theory, those other TV shows and movie that I brought up, there was a moment where that character said they loved something, but not the person that said, "I love you." So here's where this starts to come full circle. At my job, there is a new employee who, it's only been a few weeks, but as of this moment, she is, for lack of a better word, the poop of unicorns. She has a really welcoming, complimentary, and pleasant energy about her, and a reasonable sense of optimism that has not been seen at my place of work in a while. And if it's real and genuine, I hope the cynical jackasses at my job don't squish her. But here's where this is all coming from. I spent several shifts training her behind the bar. And at the end of the last shift we trained together, she said, "Love you. See you later." And so, spoiler alert, I said, "Love you" back. And she walked away, the door closed, and I kind of had that moment of, huh. So, what's funny about this thought process, and trust me, I'm getting to the thank you moment. What's funny about that moment, that love you, have a good night, is that that has played out over and over again in my life, in my workspace. And there is, at every workplace, at least in the restaurant business, I can't speak to the office world because I don't work it. I'm not a public school teacher. I've never been a nurse. So I can't speak to any of those workplaces. But I can speak to at least the restaurant life, where you work very closely for very long amounts of time and you gain some level of familiarity with people. So, I mean, yeah, okay, as of this moment, we're talking about every workplace. But you work really closely in the restaurant business. And so you're proverbially in the trenches with these people, start working side by side with them, close quarters, dealing with crazy people, unifying against crazy people, unifying to help crazy people. Everybody's moving towards the goal of keep the restaurant open so that everybody makes money. Okay, cool. Throughout the course of all the different restaurants and bars I have worked at, there's always been no less than one employee that says, "Love you." No matter early or late into the time of them working there. And says it freely to people around them. Whether or not they feel love for everybody or they say it to people to put it out into the air, I've never asked, I don't know. And actually, not just this employee that is currently the poop of unicorns, but another employee that I can think of, that we were strategizing a better way to stage to-go cups. And I found a little metal storage presentation piece and pointed out, I said, "Hey, let's try that." And we put the cups in it and she looked at me and said, "I love you so much right now." And these are moments that kind of, sort of, knock you off your feet for a second, because you don't necessarily know how to respond. And so I started to wonder, is it me? Am I the person who is struggling with the understanding of how many definitions of love there actually is? So once again, I asked our friend Google how many, because let's just kind of break this down for a quick second. If a 44-year-old version of me asked a 12-year-old version of me what love is, I don't necessarily know what 12-year-old me would have said, but I probably would have said, it's probably what you feel for your family and what you eventually feel for the person you marry, is probably something I would have said. Because see, we get into a very interesting conversation. This is actually, this is something that, and obviously I struggle with this, but I struggle with this in several different ways. So I am a person who is, for the most part, I am able to toe the line between colloquial conversation and hard, definitive wording. So if you were to speak colloquially, you kind of sweep with a big old brush, and you might use a word that makes sense in context but doesn't make sense by Webster or dictionary.com, but it all works if you give it the time. So a rigidity for a definition of a word comes into play right now for me. Because I don't even know that I could describe the definition of love if you asked me to at 44 years old. I know I have it from my mother. I know I have it from my sister. I know I have it from my wife. And I know I have it for a very reasonable cluster of people I call friends in this world. But if you asked me to give you a definition thereof, I don't know that I could. But when certain coworkers or employees have said, I love you, throughout the course of my time working in a restaurant, I have definitely thought, I don't know you well enough to say this, but I also know that I respect you enough as a human to tell you in short form, love you. Cool. Because you know what? And let me go a comical route with this. If somebody says love you as they're leaving, I'm not going to say to them, I care about you as a human and I don't want you to die in a painful way. That's kind of a long way of just saying love you and just being done with it. On the fly, I can tell you that I understand telling somebody love you is a lot quicker than, I hope you don't get sick or get in an accident on the way home. And if nothing else, saying love you back is better than saying thank you. So here's where I flick the story back around. So this same coworker I talked about first, the poop of unicorns, that's going to be her code name for now, until she proves otherwise, or doesn't. She was in the midst, finished up her shift, was getting ready to go take on the world and be whoever it is she wants to continue to be, and was saying goodbye to fellow coworkers and said, love you, to another coworker, for whom, by the way, is on the Asperger's spectrum. So if you were going to test out, if you were going to test out somebody's definition of love, the first and last person you would like to test is somebody on the Asperger syndrome, on the Asperger spectrum. Because I'm not going to pull up Wikipedia to read it, but on a very frequent basis, somebody on the Asperger spectrum is going to be very rigid, very intelligent, but not necessarily socially aware. Look at Sheldon Cooper. We are back to the Big Bang Theory. So she says, "Love you," to this fantastic employee who is a great person and is a very caring person, by the way, who is on the spectrum. And he looked her dead in the face and said, "Thank you." And she was wrecked. And the next night, she was getting ready to leave, and she told people this. And you have that moment of, oh God, I really want to laugh because that's funny. Because it's, like I said, it's overdone on TV, but it's funny if it actually happens in real life, which, by the way, is why it ended up on TV in the first place. Figure that shit out. Because it ha because so much of writing for television happened in real life first. It's a scenario that was funny, or at least funny when you told the story to somebody else later. Maybe it wasn't funny to you when it happened in the moment, but it was. But you're able to spin it in a way that it is good and fun and funny for television, which, by the way, is also the premise of all new, all different, all of the above. Something was probably funny or crazy or weird or stupid that happened to me, and I want to bring it to you so that you can laugh, learn, and live from it. So she told people about it, and she was wrecked. And so the next night, she was getting ready to leave and looked at me and one other person and said, "I would say love you, but I'm scared of rejection." And of course, the both of us just said, "Thank you," as she left because we're terrible people. But it was topical and it was funny, and you gotta run with it. What I didn't do before I sat down to talk with you was try to actually take a mental Rolodex of people that have said it. So let me just pull the car off to the side for a second and tell you. I take pride in being an employee slash coworker who does care. I care about the people I care about. I care about everybody in the building, but I care more about the people I care about. And I have been that person that people have told me very serious things or come to me with very serious concerns, or in some cases have cried in on my shoulder. For things that were that big that they just couldn't hold it in. And those moments of vulnerability are the steps to creating a loving relationship between two people. That's just the truth. So I understand why there could be a moment when somebody says, "I love you," to me. Or just to each other. I really do understand that. But that is one place where my colloquial mind flips over to a rigid mind and says, I don't know that this fits into my definition of love, so I don't know if I love you too. So you know what I did. I, of course, I, of course, asked our friend Google how many different types of love there are. Because I actually, one of my very closest friends, for whom I tell her I love her somewhat frequently, has one of the types of love tattooed on her foot. And I asked her one day, I said, okay, so what is that? In the earliest days of us getting to know each other. So, okay, so what is that? She says, oh, that's agape. That is Greek for love. And she kind of expands the sentence to say, there's four types of love, and this is one of them. I said, oh, well, okay. So just kind of dancing around with that in the back of my head for years now, hell, a decade, I typed in one just a few short days ago, how many types of love are there? And I tell you what, the internet is so beautiful and so flawed for the same exact reason, is that anybody can give you information. And that information can be right, wrong, accurate, inaccurate, stretched, succinct, whatever. So of course you type in how many types of love are there, and the first four articles you see give you four different numbers. There's four types. Nah, there's five. Nah, there's six. Nah, there's eight. Nah, there's seven. So I just swept with the widest brush possible and pulled up the eight types. And I will read from author JoanneReed.net. The ancient Greeks were sophisticated in the way they talked about love and would be shocked by our modern crudeness in using a single word both to whisper, I love you, over a romantic candlelight meal and to casually sign an email, lots of love. Skipping ahead. The question, what is love, generates a host of issues. Some have sought to analyze them. Others have preferred to leave them in the realm of the ineffable. In this article, let's talk about love. This article, Let's Talk About Love, is my attempt to shed some light on this subject. I will do no such, I will not drag you into the muck of reading the full paragraphs about each love. All I will do is, well, first of all, I'll put my freaking glasses on. Oh God, that's so much better. Father Time is undefeated, ladies and gentlemen, and my eyes are not what they used to be. At least I am not my mother and had to wear gloves. I had to wear glasses since age 8. But I'm not going to drag you through the mud and read the full paragraph on all the different types of love. But for me, who is known to speak colloquially and sweep with a wide brush verbally and speak contextually a lot, I do struggle with the concept of love in the workplace. Let's start there. And hell, let's just go a little further. I struggle with the concept of love in family. And see, here's where I actually said this to a friend of mine. Within these last couple months, she told me, she says, you know what? I gotta admit, I just kind of don't like my dad. And this is no one I am related to. Those words did not come out of the mouth of anybody I am related to or married to, by the way. This is a friend on the periphery. I don't want anybody to listen and be like, oh, he is totally talking out of turn. He is totally talking out of school right now. No. This was a friend on the periphery. And she said, you know, I spent a couple days with my dad and realized I just don't like him. And I said, you know what? Blood doesn't have to dictate love. Now, it's kind of like a built-in starter set. And we could also quote the great red-faced, pudgy as hell Brother Love from WWF and say, just because I love you doesn't mean I have to like you. But as a guy who has this issue and struggles with the definition, or at least my personal definition, I decided to dig deep and look in on the different types of love. And first of all, it is mostly the workplace for which I struggle, because my first thought is whenever somebody says it to me that is somewhat new into my world, somewhat new into my working world, somewhat new into my circle, my first question is, so if I get fired tomorrow, will you even have a second thought about me? If the answer is, I doubt it, well then retract your statement. But that's kind of hard. But that's kind of harsh, honestly. Knowing full well that there are, according to the ancient Greeks, 8 different types of love, they may very well still love me if I get canned, or they get canned, tomorrow. So let us delve in for one quick sec. According to this article, author JoanneReed.net, and theoretically according to the ancient Greeks, there are 8 types of love. Let us discuss. There is agape, love of humanity, contributing. There is eros, romantic or sexual. There is philia, feeling part of a team, group. There is storg or storge, family love, relations, or very close friends. There is ludus, play, fun, exciting love. There is mania, obsessive love. There is pragma, love that endures, being there. And then there is, I'm going to be careful with this word because it could turn into something else real quick. There is philautia, self-love, self-big-ups, being kind to self. I apologize for reading that one last. Everybody stop giggling. So the friend I told you about, she had agape tattooed on her foot. So love of humanity or contributing, that very easily could be the love that my coworkers feel when they say love you to me. It could also be, philia, because they are part of a team or a group, or it could even be storge, depending on their view of family. So, knowing that there are so many different definitions, or so many different types, it kind of kicks open a door to say, well, maybe I need to readjust my stance. Because I am very quick to call on the fact that words can have multiple meanings. I'm very quick to call on that, partly because I am so colloquial in how I speak, and I want to have such a downhill momentum with my speech that stopping to say what I mean is just a gigantic deflate. There is very little more deflating in my world than to have to stop and say to somebody, you know what I meant. But at the same time, here I am, struggling with the concept of I love you in the workplace, and struggling with saying it back to people. Because up to this point, if I was going to sit here and think about which of the 8 I have been focused on, it's probably pragma, love that endures, being there, eros, romantic or sexual, And we'll go ahead and say storage. If I was going to just kind of break down any moment that someone has said love you to me in the workplace, that would take a second. But I have probably, somebody has probably expressed ludus love to me, like play, fun, like exciting, because they were excited that we found a new way to store to-go cups in the bar. Or philia, because they are now part of a bigger thing, being an employee with this company. If somebody feels Eros for me, I can't do anything for you. Somebody put a ring on it. I mean, thank you. That's very sweet of you. Oh shit, and I just said thank you. Oh, that was so great. That was such a happy accident. And of course, and to a small way, agape for sure. Because everybody feels something for somebody. I mean, just a few short days ago, it was Thursday at time of live recording. It was Thursday, a guy came in who, for lack of a better word, just looked like he hadn't showered in a couple days. He looked a little dirty. He was wearing flip-flops and socks. I don't remember if he was wearing sweatpants or just soft jeans, but he just looked like his clothes weren't clean. I'm not gonna say it looks like he was experiencing homelessness, but it looks like he was on harder times. And he came in, and I saw him from outside. I saw him walk to the restaurant next to us and disappear, and then come out, and then stand at the door of our restaurant, and then walk in. And just once again, just from the characteristics I described, I was kind of observing him outside to see if he was going to ask anybody for money as they came out, which he didn't. But he did come in at roughly 6 o'clock and ask if we were hiring and ask for an application. And the professional man in me said, "Why don't you put some shoes on? Why don't you comb your hair? Why don't you iron a shirt? And why don't you come in between 2 and 5, which is the sweet spot for restaurants to apply for a job?" And then personal me said, "Wow, it looks like he's falling on hard times. I hope everything's okay." So that for me right there may have been agape. Love of humanity. And let's make abundantly clear, every last one of us who has been single in their 20s at some point has been privy to mania, obsessive love. Which, if I was gonna scroll down and read from the paragraph, may very well, I'm not gonna say the word toxic, but mania may very well be swimming in similar water as more toxic relationships. Have I gone around the circle and talked about them all? Oh, yeah, stars. And if I were to unpack storage, family love, relations, or very close friends, I mean, that one seems pretty easy. It's the familiar and familial feeling of those who share the same blood as you. Now, I repeat, it's not automatic. And I want everybody out there to know that you are 100% within your rights to realize that somebody is family and not love them. Try to at least understand them and understand your place with them, which in some way or another might actually be philousia. Because at any given point, you must look after yourself. You must love yourself, philousia. And if your philousia, your self-love, is clashing with storge, family love, relations, or close friends, look after yourself. If there is a situation within your family or your friend group that is making you feel unloved, either address it or run. Which is why, when my friend outside of the periphery said, "I don't like my dad," that's when I said, well, blood doesn't immediately dictate love. It's a starter kit. It's a built-in village, so to speak. In a societal standpoint, we kind of sort of got it wrong. Or at least people that live more as a village are getting it right. The old neighborhoods from your childhood, well, from my childhood, I'm in my 40s, where if you lived in a neighborhood where any parent was able to say whatever they wanted to any kid, because the parents all knew that they had each other's backs. They all wanted something better for the kids, and they all knew, hey, would your mother be okay if you acted that way? And I have my rights to say, hey, don't play in the street, there's a car coming. I'm not saying every parent can slap every kid, I'm not saying that, but every parent can be, every adult can be responsible for raising a child. I don't remember where I was going with that, so I'm just going to leave it there. But I think I've kind of had some level of conversation with myself and with you guys about the different types of love. And this is, like I said, this is a big conversation with myself in telling you that as much as I want people to understand that words have multiple meanings, I have to understand that also. Because you know what? I get rigid in it sometimes. I get in my own way and think, well, that's not what it means. But you know what? Sometimes I'm right, but sometimes I'm also wrong. Because I forget that there is other meanings or other definitions or even other context. And you know what's funny? This one gets me every so often is I have so many friends in my life that have kids. And these kids hug me, they this, that, or whatever me, and these kids have said, I love you to me every now and then. And it's a very strange feeling, because the first thing I think is that really sick, foul societal thought of, well, if you say I love you to a child that isn't yours, are you a pedophile? And I must admit, I haven't watched far too much Law & Order SVU, but I understand the concept of it, and I also understand the concept of perception. And anytime a kid has hugged me, which is funny, by the way, anytime a kid has hugged me, once again, in the restaurant setting, I have that moment of, are there adults present? Did they see that the child initiated this hug? I did not start this. So here I am telling you over and over again in so many different ways. I get stuck too. It's anybody. At any given point, somebody can get stuck in the fact that they heard a word, they have a definition for it, and that's what they went with. And until you take the moment to look and say, okay, well, how's my perception on this scenario? Am I giving this the full context? That's why I'm here with you. I'm here to chat with you about. I'm here to try to expand my mind a little bit to understand. Because another thing that I might very well be struggling with is the concept of love as a feeling. Because usually, throughout the course of my life, I have waited to say the word I love you when I felt it versus just saying it. Which is why anybody who has ever said thank you to somebody saying I love you isn't totally wrong. Because if you've ever considered it as a feeling versus one of these 8 different types, sure. Now, I don't want you all to think that I'm made of stone. There are employees/coworkers that I have had throughout the far too long I have been in the restaurant business and in the working world in general that I have grown a close relationship with that I say I love you to. I can't even stop to count them all, but throughout the course of my time working in restaurants, that's where the bulk of my adult friends have come from. You have the friends that you made in elementary school and high school, you know, your formative years. And then you have all of these people you have met while you were out dancing at the club, or you went to play poker because your sister set you up with some dude, and the workplace friends and all of these ridiculous things, all these weird ways that as adults you have to make friends because you don't have high school anymore, unless you believe in Bowling for Soup when they say high school never ends, which in some way or another is dead right, by the way. But I have made very, very, very good relationships. And I say I love you to people from my various jobs. It just, for me, it takes a little while because I have been locked up in the thought concept that you have to feel love to say it. And maybe as I'm saying this out loud to you, maybe I'm still not wrong. It comes back to these 8. To look at a coworker who has been there for 3 weeks and say, I love you, or love you. Funny enough, there's a semantic difference. I mean, in a matter of milliseconds, can your brain pull down the drop-down menu, figure out which type of love you feel for this person, feel it, and then say it? Hell, I don't know. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to try it. Am I going to walk up to a person experiencing homelessness in Deep Ellum and say, I love you? I don't know about all that, but you get the idea. Can I look at a coworker, feel philia, feeling part of a team or group, and say, I love you? Perhaps. Because I'll tell you what, I actually really strongly remember this night, randomly enough. I really strongly remember there was a really, really, really crazy shift on, it was a Sunday night. This is years ago. The same restaurant I'm at now, years ago. We let go of one too many employees. We cut a few too early, and we got rocked. But from the kitchen to the host stand to the servers, everybody, we rallied. We absolutely rallied. We took that full restaurant. We bust all those tables. We got all that food out. We had minimal issues. A great performance was put on by the staff that night. I'm pretty sure I was the floor manager, so I had a particular interest in how well the night went. And I just remember it was so intense and so deep as it was happening. And after it was over and everybody left, I sent a text message to the four people that were there that night and thanked them. And I gotta tell you, as I'm telling you this story, I have a really good, deep memory of those people coming together that night to do the job they did. And right now, I am filled with a bit of philia, feeling part of a team group. And so it's, as you sit here and just kind of read through them and say, when have I felt these? And I'm sure every last one of you could Google search how many types of love are there, find the one that has eight, and just look this up, excuse me, and figure out when you have felt each of these. So I could just check a bunch off the list. So Eros, Pragma, Ludus are very easy. I'm married to that. That's very easy. And that is ideal if you feel romantic, enduring, and playful love. I tend to think that is right where you need to be with the person that you lay next to. I tend to think that is absolutely perfect. And of course, there needs to be some feel. Is that Philoshia? Boy, this is, I'm not struggling with the word. I'm struggling with the concept that it's tied to. If I were to look up, children, earmuffs. If I were to look up the word fellatio right now, I have a feeling they are rooted in the very same Greek root. So that's why every time I read Philautia, all I think is the giggly 16-year-old sex ed moment where we're talking about fellatio or the self-love. Or the cunnilingus, cha-cha-cha. Earmuffs removed. We're done here. The sports radio station I listen to, they frequently have moments where they talk about their loyal listeners and how they're driving in the car and driving with their kids. And somebody will send an email and say, I have been a loyal listener since my dad was playing this when I was 8 years old, and now I'm 22. And the hosts will inevitably say, you were 8 years old listening to us. What's wrong with your dad? So listen, I gladly accept any listener to all new, all different, all of the above, but every now and then, I'm going to shout earmuffs because I don't want you to learn some things from me. True story. I don't, n n my brother's kid, my brother has five kids. I didn't become friends with any of them on Facebook until they turned 18. They weren't going to learn anything from me. And even my coworkers. If I have a coworker who is cool, I will not consider following them or friending them on any social media until they are 18. And by the way, what do I need to be doing following or friending a bunch of 18-year-olds on Facebook any damn way? Yeah, we work together, but come on. We have all that. And I actually I'm gonna call myself out a little bit because I want to say most of you listening right now have a story such as this of mania, obsessive love, which first of all, obsessive love and infatuation, I don't know if they're the same thing. I don't have the time or energy to really make that determination. But you know what? Actually, if mania is obsessive love, maybe mania is that moment where you've just heard that a member of your family was in a car accident and you are feverishly trying to find details on their health and safety. Maybe that just overflowing of fear tied to love is what mania is. Maybe. When I take pauses like that one you just heard, that's me trying to figure out what my next thought is. Because once again, we're in a bit of a free-form conversation today where I'm trying to kind of figure things out as I talk to you. These moments, these conversations, these episodes are some of my favorite. I kind of feel the need to apologize because it's not clean, clear, concise thinking, but at the same time, on topics as heady as how you describe, feel, and express love, who the hell is concise about it anyway? What I do know is that I will refuse to say thank you if somebody says I love you to you. What I will do is probably try to run that Rolodex. That's a very old person's reference, by the way. Just while you're Googling the 8 different types of love, just Google what a Rolodex is. My parents had one. I repeat, Father Time is undefeated. I make a lot of old person references. I really do. And this is where my wife would say, babe, you're old. Oh, boy. She's not wrong. I mean, contextually, she's definitely not wrong. There are definitely people older than me. But in my workplace, aside from the 78-year-old dishwasher, I'm one of the oldest people in the building. Sweet Jesus, I might be the oldest person in the building aside from the 78-year-old dishwasher. Well, that's really sobering. Seriously, though. Is there anybody older than me in there? Maybe one of the two prep cooks. Listen, I work at a restaurant in North Texas, so I'm not unearthing any stereotypes here, but if you've worked at a restaurant in North Texas, you know what I'm talking about. Think about the prep lady you had. It's a Mexican woman who has lots of kids, randomly gets flowers sent to her on any random given day, and is the sweetest person walking the planet. And doesn't speak a lick of English. She knows how to point and pull out Google Translate. One of them might be older than me. This moment of mental sobriety brought to you by All New, All Different, All of the Above. So what I am going to do going forward is try to actually find the differentiation. When somebody says, I love you, instead of freezing and thinking, well, how will you feel about me 2 days after I get fired? Instead of thinking that, thinking familial, group, humanity, which one do I feel for you? I think that's fair. I think that's fair and honest, and in some way or another, beautiful. To know that we are all humans walking this planet, trying to do the best we can in the short time we've got here. We all deserve love, and we all should love each other. Really. Unconditionally, we should love each other. Whichever way you choose, whether it is purely agape, whether it is philia, whether it is storge, I repeat, if you feel eros for me, that's very sweet of you. I will take the compliment and just keep on walking. But we all deserve to feel love. And we all need hard N-E-E-D, need to express love to those around us. People need to know that we care. People need to know that we love them. And you are welcome to figure out, and I urge you to figure out which way it is, so that we don't have that uncomfortable moment where somebody says to you, I love you, or love you, and they say, and you say, thank you back. So one more time, I'll read through them all. Eros, philia, storge, ludus, mania, pragma, philautia, agape. That is your challenge. Check in on those eight and figure out where you have felt each one of them for someone. I'm just going to run down the list of all the different types of love I feel for you. Sorry about that. My loyal listeners to all new, all different, all of the above. Definitely philia. At some point or another, we have all been a part of something. Especially if you go all the way back to all of the above radio. At some point you were a contributor, whether you indirectly were part of a story I told, or you were a contributor by Facebook Live or the phone or text or emailing me an idea. And some of you have even, and you have branched into storage, of course, because you have become very close, bordering on family. Like I said, blood does not dictate love, and blood does not dictate family either. That's how that, and once again, that's kind of an argument as to why storge, why the line between family and friends can actually be blurred, because it's all in one category of love. So say the Greeks. I have a buddy. Well, okay. My wife has a buddy who is making sure that her son understands that this person is family, this person is friend. You can love them both, but this is aunt or uncle, and this is friend, Mr. or Miss. And I have a different friend who, if you look at her son, you can tell we ain't related, but she has from day one said to him, that's Uncle Hank and that's Aunt Haley. And it was the weirdest thing. The first time I heard him say Uncle Hank, we were poolside at their house, and he said, Uncle Hank, look at what my dad can do. I said, oh crap, he's talking to me. And of course, I have the, for all of you, my loyal friends and listeners, I have pragma, love that endures. You have been there for me, so I will continue to be there for you on a wickedly sporadic basis, but I will continue to be there for you. Oh, boy. I have no idea if I solved anything today, but if nothing else, I've had this conversation with you guys before. I don't always have answers, just more questions. But when you have more questions, at least you're getting somewhere. So I really do feel like I got somewhere with this conversation with you today. And for that, I appreciate you. I thank you, and I love you. See what I did there? We went through it all together. So we will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. My name is Hank. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. May there be a next time. I say till next time. Go tell somebody you love them, damn it. Or at least don't say thank you when they say it to you.